All right, guys, we're just going to wait for the feed to load.
Wake up, Chris.
Oh, wow. We got a lot of people. Jeez, that was quick. A lot of people on here. Grab the feed.
They're on time. You're not, Joe.
Well, you know, the whole...
This comes from mailman.
Don't bust the
balls. Mailman is already... Oh, mailman.
Wayne, you're late sometimes delivering the mail.
Very nice, Chris. Very nicely played right there. I like it.
Need all my bills to come in.
All right, so you could... Everybody share it?
Yeah.
Bo's there sharing it. This is GloucesterCast 442. We have one podcast virgin with us. We're going to get to him in 1 second. Paul Horowitz back for his third podcast because he represents the elite in Gloucester. The North Gloucester.
I thought that was my job.
The North Gloucester elite. No, you and I are pretty much lowbrow. Then we have Bo Cleary with us. Bo is doing what I ask everyone to do, which is really nice. He's sharing the podcast. Thank you for being part of the team, Bo. He's going to talk about him and Chris McCarthy's progress. Well, really, Chris's progress. Bo's always maintained a high level of fitness acumen. First time podcast virgin, Wayne the Mailman.
He doesn't know my last name.
Wayne Moulton. I know your last name, but I think the character... I think the character Wayne the Mailman is much better.
Exactly.
Much better for the broadcast. Nicole Straft is with us.
Good morning.
Fresh from church.
Yeah. And then I laugh, which makes it all the much worse. See?
Yeah, that's right.
I wasn't at church.
It's just, that's a hell of an intro.
Straight from church.
Jimmy Dalpiaz is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Chris McCarthy is with us, filling in for Pat Dalpiaz.
No, he's on assignment.
Pat is on assignment. All right, refocus right here.
So does that mean no answers to comments and things? Are you doing that over there?
I'm going to try. Brenda Davis shared it. God bless Brenda Davis for sharing because we love her. So we should meet right off the bat, two parts of business. We have to do our death row sub and death row meal with Wayne the Mailman. And okay, so we started to. Jimmy made a mistake, and he tried. He gave you the a tip. Do I have to explain death row?
No,
sub?
You don't have to explain.
Oh, that's very nice. All right.
Now you tell me.
So we do the. So that's the definition of a super fan. So I don't know whose idea was it. Chris's idea. We're gonna invite a super fan on every week. One of the people that Paul O'Brien O'Brien or Brandon Grimes Davis or Joey Foote, all these people that comment and are basically part of the team, but they're usually on the other side. Now we're gonna have one person per week on with us.
Yeah,
which I think is gonna be a lot of fun. So Wayne, what is your death row sub and death row meal? We have to write this down for Pat.
Okay. So my death row sub would be at Destino's. It's a buffalo finger cheesesteak sub. Mm.
Oh, damn.
Man.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
That would, I think
is that on the menu?
What would that do to your app, Joey?
I think that would take down my app. I think my calorie counting app, it would probably, the dial would spin around and around, and it just springs a thing that would just pop out of my cell phone.
Come on, man.
yeah. A pop-up, we come along. Come on, man. That's absolutely right. Good. Nice, Jerry. Death row meal.
So at the Seaport Grill, I'm a big fan of the fried clams. I actually think they're better than the Ipswich clam box.
Whoa. Stake in the ground right there.
Seaport Grill, you said?
Yes.
Okay. And I think that a huge key for fried clams are the changing of the oil. And I know, because I'm an insider over there, that they change out their oil unbelievably frequently. Like, they don't try to reuse that oil all the time. And their batter is crispy. They're always, like, nice and crisp and stuff like that. Yeah.
And they have a great flavor.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. No, their kitchen is spotless. And I'm always amazed that when I go to the Seaport Grill to do a little lobsters, obviously, like, the cleanliness, but like the they have stations of the salad guy is doing the salad, a woman. The head guy is doing, they have a team behind the line. They have a dessert person, dedicated dessert person. They are a well-oiled machine. And they, like,
no pun intended.
For the amount of people that they serve, for the amount of people that they serve, the food is excellent.
Yeah.
Really good.
That's one of our favorites.
Craig Kimberly writes, AKA the diabetes buffalo death bomb. That's a nice to see you.
Once you try it, you won't go away.
I think it's. I won't be able to eat, according to with my app. I wouldn't be able to eat anything for 2 days.
I agree. I don't think you'll go away. You'll go under.
Straight
in the ground.
I'm gonna do a
get baked chicken instead of the fried chicken.
Oh, what you doing to him, boy? Here,
Craig Kimberly also adds, "Good morning, Harbor Light crew."
Oh, hi, Craig. Craig did our amazing school video.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He did a great job.
We're going to do a few hellos to the people that are watching. Hi to Ed Collard. Hi to Paige Pickering.
Paige Pickering.
Yeah, Paige Pickering. She watches every week, I think. Paul Ryan O'Brien, Joey Foote, Brendan Grimes Davis, Scotty Mack.
Scotty Mack.
Craig Kimberly.
Why is Scotty Mack not
yet? Why is he awake?
I invited him. Craig says, once you try, you die. We gotta have Craig see these people, see these good people for the podcast. Like, a lot of them that are interesting people, like, can't get out of bed in the morning because they're too hammered the night before.
Craig is probably laying in bed with his keyboard around him going, come on, man.
No, Craig's got one of those things that it goes around your neck and it's a harness and it puts your iPad, you don't have to hold it. It puts it right in front of your face.
With the helmet yeah. And the two straws
going
to your mouth.
Yep.
The two beans.
He doesn't get up from bed. He just stays in bed 24/7. I'm sure Craig is in full-on NFL football mode.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't get to see our patch today.
Minus the patch, yeah.
Pittsburgh isn't playing either.
Yeah, Pittsburgh either. Yeah.
Pittsburgh not playing.
In Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Which leads me to believe within 3 weeks we will not have an NFL season. Okay, we're going to go around the room. What's the over-under on getting the NFL season into a Super Bowl?
I don't think it's going to happen.
No for you.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you think it's going to happen. There's a lot of money involved.
Yeah.
It's
going to take a lot.
To take that money down.
Yeah.
I think once the pins start falling like they are now, it's done.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say they're gonna get it in, but I'm not very optimistic. But that's my vote because I want it to happen.
I believe they're going to get it in too because they're talking already about moving the Super Bowl to the end of February, beginning of March. That was yesterday's conversation.
Well, so they would have a couple, so they could potentially have a couple of, like, in the bye weeks, they would get these games in during couple extra bye weeks.
And that's their goal.
Because that's the big talk about with the Kansas City Pats game today. Moving it to Monday, Tuesday, that would create a problem for the Chiefs because of the schedule they have already.
Right, yeah.
So that's the big discussion going in. Well, that led to, maybe these guys need their downtime. That's why they're calling the union. And they're saying, we need our downtime. We have to do things. Then they go to the end and just say, why don't we just move things over? Look at the World Series. They moved that game already. Yeah. So, well, I agree with you.
I think it's the travel that's going to cause some of the problem.
Yeah, you know? It's going
to
happen.
It's interesting to me because baseball did travel around and they got through. They got the season. Well,
it wasn't much of a season.
Yeah, the Marlins come into a little problem.
But now the playoffs is going to be at one stadium for baseball. Well, as they get into these extra rounds, and they're going to play basketball, the bubble, one stadium. Yeah, that's how they're going to do it.
Without fans.
Right. I heard that they, Arlington, that is going to be in Texas for baseball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are going to let fans in. They're going to play that 20%.
That's a perfect place for it because Dallas is so spread out. The town is so spread out, it's not congested like a lot of other cities.
Maybe that's why it was picked, I don't know.
Yeah, well, the weather too, right?
So I believe, so getting back to it, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, let's hope.
Your turn. My opinion doesn't matter.
Oh, Jesus, how did I miss it? Yo, Jimmy rambled on and on, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, here we go.
I have no opinion.
You know,
he felt left out.
And this is what we got here when we have, give the fucking airtime to McCarthy. Good morning from Oliver's Harbor. Oliver's Harbor's time.
Oliver's Harbor. Nice.
We love that place.
Oh my God.
We love that place. Yes.
Lobster carbonara at Oliver's Harbor. If you haven't had it, you're missing out.
They were my last meal before March 13th.
Pre-COVID.
You know, pre-COVID. Yeah. My last meal pre-COVID was lots of sushi at Oliver's.
Oh, I didn't even realize that they had sushi there.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Now you have me doubting myself.
He's hoping it was all of us.
It was a restaurant with a table.
There was a waitress. There was a menu.
I'm like, God, now I'm thinking maybe it wasn't too
cheap. How embarrassing. There were 13 of us at the table because it was allowed.
Oh, man.
No, it was all of us. Are they writing in?
Well,
they
we'll have, see if she responds.
They have amazing sushi.
Who's responding from Oliver's?
Giovanni Miranda.
Are they
not Carmen Miranda? Giovanni.
Do they own Oliver's?
I believe. It's one of the.
Are they just there? Like they locked the door last night, and someone was just left behind.
They're typing from their account. Yeah.
They're stuck inside.
And now they're like, oh shit.
So Wayne, we have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
It seems like every interview that you see anywhere ends up being, it starts out with how is your job affected by COVID? So how is being a postman affected with the COVID?
Well, in the office, we have half the crew starting at 8:00. And the other half of the crew starting at 8:30. That way there, it gives the first half a chance to get out the door before the second half comes in.
Mm.
We do wear masks in and around the office, unless you're in your own case, which we have our own cases that we rack the mail. Outside of the office, you respect the businesses and wear your mask.
Of course.
But on the street, pretty much, I go without.
Yeah. Geez, I hope that doesn't get you in trouble right there. Yeah.
If it does, I'm a word.
There you go. I love it. There you go.
Well said.
Well said is right. Have you noticed personally a huge uptick in online shopping due to COVID?
Oh,
Nicole's put these questions together, by the way. I'm going to take credit for them. But.
Absolutely. Recently, we just lost Amazon as one of the.
Oh, the U.S. Postal Service did.
Yeah. They decided to go on their own. They have their own fleet and drivers now.
Yeah, we noticed that.
But the packages pre-Amazon leaving was probably 3 times as many as what we normally get.
Wow. So does that make you happy because you have less work?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So
same hours, less packages.
So when you see one of those Amazon trucks, I mean, do you jockey for position? Like, do you get aggressive?
Oh, well, I'm friendly with all the guys.
Okay.
Yeah,
they're all in trenches together.
Yeah, figured you might want to box them out.
And they're probably a little bit lost,
Yeah,
considering they come to a city they don't really
know. Exactly.
Yeah.
So over in the Ansquam and stuff, it's probably a real challenge for them.
I was wondering if it's like a battle between the taxis and like Uber drivers.
No.
Like,
yeah.
Well, no, because his pay is he's on salary, so he doesn't get paid by
package, right?
By pizza.
Yeah, I have a neighbor who probably gets 10 packages a day. And once that switch came, and we live at a corner of a one-way street, and the first 3 days, the Amazon truck was coming out. Big signs, one way. No, but the house is right there.
It doesn't take much to get lost.
Yeah. No question about it. So there's that. So here's the question for I think all of us are dying to know. What is the best gift you can leave in your mailbox for a mailman at Christmas time?
Well, your favorite gift to leave was a pile of dew.
That wasn't for Christmas.
No, that was a welcoming gift, I guess. That was your version of a welcoming gift.
Yeah, welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah, we had to go down this road, didn't we? So McCarthy, so we're going to back up a little bit for the people that may remember on the podcast. McCarthy, we're talking about, we had, you know, there's all, it's a yearly thing in the spring when people are walking, that we are outraged when we start walking again around the back shore and we find the bags of dog poop. And especially at the entrance to the footbridge for all the dog walkers that just, they see one bag there and it just, there ends up being 20 bags of dog poop there. So McCarthy, we brought it up on the podcast one day, and then the following day, I'm looking out my window and he's walking by with Bo, and the dog takes a shit and he bags it up and he leaves it right at the end of my driveway.
Would you want me to carry it?
You want him to be a responsible dog owner?
Yeah. So I thought it would be well taken care of there.
It was well taken care of. So it was right at the beginning of COVID. And I had the plastic gloves. Wear plastic gloves.
That's right. Yeah, you were in a full body suit.
I was full body hazmat suit. Yeah. I picked it up, and my Adeline was with me, and we delivered it, and we put it in the mailbox for McCarthy. Well, unfortunately, McCarthy didn't check his mailbox, but who discovered it?
It's Wayne.
It's our mailman, Wayne the mailman. Right. So, but he's a good sport about it. You didn't? Did you? What did you do?
I left it. It was like,
I'm not like these people.
It would have been nice if you were gone on vacation. It just festered in there for a week or so before you opened it up. It was one of the, at least you used the recyclable ones that break down, the green ones.
Exactly. Yeah, so it would have broke down in my mailbox.
That would have been great.
So Wayne, I have a question for you. Wayne, when he has to go to the front door and he knows that the house has dogs, he'll leave treats. So how much do you spend a year in dog treats? Because it's not only when he brings the mail to your front door, but if he sees me out there with my dog, he'll stop and give them a treat. So that's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Well, it's going to cost me a lot of grief come tomorrow morning when I go to work, because it's something we're not supposed to do.
Oh, shit.
Don't talk about
what my client meant to say is he doesn't give treats.
But hypothetically, you were going to.
It wasn't Wayne.
It wasn't Wayne.
It was a different guy.
He doesn't care if he breaks the wood.
No, it's well known that I do give him out.
All right. Well,
and I do have customers that help supply.
Oh, that's good to know.
Ah.
Okay, shit. Now I got to leave a box in the mailbox, is what you say.
We just shamed you into leaving a box of mail trees. A box.
McCarthy opening his mouth.
You're going to pay it forward now.
Well, now you know what you get for Christmas.
Well, no, we never answered. We never got the question though. No, you don't want dog poop. What's a reasonable expectation for someone to leave in the mailbox for a mail carrier?
Boots. Again, that's another subject that shouldn't be talked about.
Okay, say for your
for your
UPS driver, what would your UPS driver like to receive?
It really depends on how the customer feels about their carrier, you know, how they value them.
Yeah, cash, booze.
Cigarettes, lottery tickets.
Speaking for UPS driver.
So in the mail service, we call it pineapples. That's the nickname we call it.
Okay.
So because we're not supposed to accept tips.
Okay, right.
So we just call it pineapples.
I got you.
Everybody loves fruit.
Everybody loves fruit. All right.
Well, Wayne, it was nice having you as I hope you found this podcast to be successful.
It turned into more of a roast.
I just have one question about the dogs thing. When you're, you know, doing your mail and stuff, is it true that you're going up and the dogs are sitting there and they hear the mail truck and they're waiting for you and they either chase you or run right up and sit right there for you? And
I've actually had during the inspection one time when I was delivering mail in Saugus, I have a dog that was very friendly. And I had the inspector in the back of the truck, because we have jump seats in the back of the truck. And I actually had the dog jump up in the truck and into the back with the inspector.
That's great. How many times have you been bitten by a dog delivery?
I haven't. No? In the 21 years I've been delivering, I've never been bitten. I've had a dog attempt a bite.
Yeah.
And basically you just use your bag as a defense.
And you won.
And once they hit the bag, they usually back off. Yeah. I've never sprayed a dog.
No.
And I never will.
Yeah.
Some other old ladies coming out to get their mail made.
Oh, what's a spray? Is it like pepper
spray? It's a pepper spray, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't believe in that?
I wouldn't use it.
You take the bite.
You have to carry it.
You take
it's
the bite.
It's mandatory, but
you would take the bite.
I don't see getting bit. You know, I don't think a dog really wants to bite you.
It's the person's fault.
It's the owner's fault.
Well, the owner wants to bite. If the owner knows their dog's aggressive, it shouldn't be loose anyway.
Absolutely. Oh, I agree with you. How about turkeys? Joey Foote says, how about turkeys? Ever have a turkey attack?
A turkey attack? Joey.
Leave it to Joey to come up with that question. Yeah,
well, turkeys are nasty.
They can be aggressive. Yeah. They can be. Personally, no, I haven't had a turkey attack. But I was in Lanesville one time delivering, and it was three or four turkeys that are a little ornery.
Probably fresh from the Lanesville pier after about seven, 12 packs.
Joey Foote could have meant wild turkey attack.
Yeah, not frozen.
Yeah.
How about people attacks? Has anyone tried to attack you?
No, actually, again, that goes back to an inspection I was having one time where I had a customer come flying out the door asking the inspector why he's bothering her carrier. He's such a good carrier.
Wow. That's funny. She's a detective.
That's great. That's fantastic. Mail carriers are generally beloved.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're bringing stuff.
Yeah. The other big question I have is, so the difference between Joe and I is I have a post out on the street, so you don't have to get out of your truck.
Right.
He refuses to put a post requiring that you get out of your truck, climb up his stairs, in a hot summer day.
Well, it falls back into being grandfathered in. So his box has been there for a very long time,
right.
Whereas you're a new homeowner, right. So you're required to be on the street.
But he could help you out and put a post.
He could. I do not mind visiting Joe.
What kind of an insane person that's grandfathered in would put a fucking post?
I'm just going to say, guys, you realize Joe's in the room?
Then you would be inconvenienced because you'd have to walk to the mailbox.
No, but Wayne likes to come up and see what's happening, say hi to DC in the window.
See what the new grill is.
The grill of the week.
Avoid all the grills.
Well, I've asked that a few times, but I haven't received anything.
Wow.
I don't receive what? Food off the grill? I'd be happy to.
Stick a presentation.
Oh, okay. So this is – thank you for the reminder, Jim. So we have these stickers. We just got the new one. I have to thank Manny Simos because he paid for half of them. New Good Morning Gloucester die-cut stickers, multicolored. We spared no expense, mainly because Manny was helping me out with the cost. Because they do cost quite a bit. So we're asking people not to just take them and stick them on their kid's forehead and throw them away. We want them to go on vehicles or laptops or something like that. But Wayne asked me to put one in the mailbox for him, and I forgot to. So here is your official GMG.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That was a wonderful speech.
The presenting of the sticker. So there you go. Thank you.
Last question.
You said that three questions.
This is a public service announcement. Look into the camera, and you could tell everybody out there who you deliver mail to what some of your pet peeves are. How can we improve your
experience
as a
for the Golden Pine?
As a
post, they didn't mention that.
Or in the wintertime, just basically keeping your walkways clear.
Oh, nice. Yep. That's a good
one. A big help.
Big one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I really don't have no pet peeves with my customers, with the exception of an occasional dog that should be, taken care of.
Yeah.
Not let loose.
Were you pointing the finger at me?
No.
You didn't mention the lawn. You didn't think that was worth mentioning my hard work.
Well, I noticed you're getting ready to aerate it. So.
Well, I aerated, but did you notice the new patch?
The new patch coming up where the bushes come down. I think it makes your house look more like a beach house now.
Nice. Right.
Yeah. Kate's happy. I'm happy.
Minus the bushes.
So did you, those hedges were
overgrown. I used to have to duck in the wintertime going in because they closed in on you when the snow got on them.
Right. They had to go. And the whole reason we removed those and it cost me all that money was because of you. I was thinking of you.
So there you go. He was thinking of me. See,
that's not enough stuff. You're just going to put a note and put it in the person's mailbox and say, I'd appreciate the fact,
There's really
these trees back.
To be honest with you, Kate did all the work.
was.
No, we know that, Joe.
it goes without saying. And Kate gave an air high five to Wayne for being our mail carrier. She's listening to the podcast. So there's that. McCarthy and Bo are here to report. Oh, wow, look at you with the old school Palazzolo Sporting Goods t-shirt. Yeah. I just noticed that.
Nice.
Wow, Bo.
Jack and Linda.
God bless them. That's awesome.
Actually, Brian Wink actually passed on a few to me, so.
Yeah, Brian.
So I got to represent.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He helped me out with it. Brian helped me out doing some hats one time.
When's the – so Palazzolo is no longer here, though, right?
No. Classic.
How many years ago?
An institution. Well, do you want to speak to that?
That's just great. I mean, it's a sporting goods store, and Jack and Linda, they did a great job for years. It's a family-owned sporting goods store, and they are my daughter's Grandy and Grampy, so that's my connection. So they've always been more than generous with gear, athletic equipment. I'm in the field, so that was my desired spot to go and get boxing gloves, jumping rope, sneakers.
Nice.
And they've been great over the years. And they do a great job taking care of my daughter, too. So thank you
so much. That's awesome.
They used to take care of all the local teams.
Yeah.
All the local leagues and stuff.
Yeah. There's a void there now. There's a total void, like, where they're leaving. Like, Olympia Sports is garbage compared to what, like, the huge, vast category of sporting good items for. And they would know personally, you know, all the people in the sporting world in Gloucester, you know, the micro, and actually not just Gloucester, Rockport, Manchester, they all went to, everybody knew when there was the
It was the Mar and Pa shop of sporting goods.
And they actually, Jack used to, I remember talking to him one time, and there was a customer trying on a helmet, football helmet.
Yeah.
And he would personally go over and size it up. And I mean, he was great.
Yeah.
Gearing people up, you know, all the leagues, local leagues and stuff. So
they did lettering the shirts.
No question about it. I miss Palazzolo's.
That's awesome.
Everybody does. This whole town misses Palazzolo's. Yeah. There's like even the big box stores don't carry so many of the items that they would for the youth of and actually the adults of Gloucester too. Yeah. Not only that, they had like certain kind of underwear and socks that you couldn't get anywhere else and. That was a great place.
Yeah, I'd like to add that when we were visiting all the time, we used to stop there because with the coaching I did, they had items that I was amazed that kids liked this.
Really?
Yep.
So I saw it and I would buy it and go back home, and then my guys would go, "Where'd you find this?" Because we have, you know, Dick's and we have all the other big stores down by me. I just said, "No, we'll play something Gloucester."
If they didn't have it, they'd get it.
Yeah, that's great.
They're really common.
So Fathi had just mentioned something that I was waiting to talk about. Like they had that president's, it was an annual sale, half off. So you buy a pair of sneakers, you get the second one half off. Everybody,
really,
the whole town,
really,
would go and get two pairs of sneakers, and like you would wait for that because it's like when it was like everybody grew up in the '80s with this family and. Like, this is when sneakers just, you know, Converse All-Stars, you know, and then Nike and then Reebok and everything. And they would carry it all the, like, way before these box stores.
That's cool.
The coolest stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great story.
I don't know if it was all sneakers half off or was it buy one, get one half off. I thought it was B-O-G, buy one, get one.
BOGO.
Maybe it was all.
I think it was all half off.
All half off. That's what Safafi is saying, so maybe I had it wrong, but yeah, everybody. Pauline remembers when they had two shops on Main Street, one for sporting goods and the other one for clothing. Yeah, they had, I think it was where Pisces, I'm not sure if it was where Pisces was or right around there. And then they bought the big space across the street where Brass Monkey is now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where they were right
here. And they used to tend to bicycles also.
Yeah, absolutely.
After Giles, right? Wow. Was it Giles? Giles?
Yeah, Joey Foot says all half off too. Everybody's saying all half off. So I had it wrong. Everybody's like climbing up my butt. Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you.
You just always get the kids' names and hockey numbers on their jackets down there. And you just walk in and like get your maroon.
They would do custom stuff too.
Absolutely, yes.
You can't do that now.
I had some stuff done there personally. So tell me, you guys are, I got off track, but you, how long have you guys been working out together?
Is it 3 weeks?
Well, let Chris start.
Yeah, I think it's been 3 weeks, 8 workouts. I think I've posted all of them on Good Morning Gloucester in my Instagram account. But, you know, it's been a pleasure working with Bo. But he reminds me every day that it's not about him, it's about me. And as I think I've shared in some of my posts, you know, the key to success is just showing up and believing and, you know, being motivated and, you know, making sure that you understand that it's all about you and you're doing it for yourself. And believe me, in 3 weeks, I've lost 15 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel great. And, you know, working with Bo, it's not just, you know, hey, let's become like the Incredible Hulk. It's all about, you know, taking care of certain parts of your body and believing, and you've been very inspirational. And, you know, that's the reason I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and go meet him at Gloucester High School. And, again, at the end of the day, I know it's about me, but you also have to have a good coach at the end of the day to make you want to come. And, it's been great. I mean, I'm feeling good. I mean, I think it all started when I could barely do 2 push-ups here on the floor. I think I just wanted to get off the floor. I probably could have done maybe a couple more. But now, I think the last time, my 8th workout, I did 15 push-ups. And,
strict form?
Yeah, 1.5 miles around the track. I could, the first time, work out 1 or 2. I could only do one time without...
just a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Yeah,
I think it, with Chris, it was more or less the willingness to want to make that change for the better. And we did talk about not only the physical benefits, but the mental benefits as well. And he's inspired me, you know. I mean, and he talked about showing up. And we did, like, 2 push-ups here.
Yeah.
I think I was on, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Three or 4 weeks ago.
2 push-ups.
Yeah.
And so that's how
we
ended up meeting. And then he did make that commitment, because you also got to make that commitment.
Right.
We could talk about it.
Right.
But it's about being about it. And he decided to show up. And
And
so we monitored his workouts through videos from his Instagram page.
Yeah.
And so what we try to do is show progress just a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
And so he went from, as far as the push-ups go, 3 to 5 to 8 to 10 to 12 to 15.
To 15, yeah.
And on the cardio, the conditioning, he went from 1 time around, then we did 2.
Yeah.
Then he did 4, then he did 5, and then the last workout was 6.
6, yeah.
But we try to space those workouts out, because when you do begin, you don't want to crush your body. You want to be able to
keep coming back.
Yeah.
That's been the key.
So we started by, you know, working out every other day. And I believe in every other day. I believe in day on, day
recovery.
Out. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
And then the nutrition part. I mean, he's better. And so it's just, it comes down to him doing it, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's, you get to a point in your life to where you say, hey, sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
I want to feel better.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, I want to feel better. I want to maybe look a little better. And and that's how it starts. And then I believe in the morning workouts because of the fact that it's a great way to start the day. And you can take that positive energy into your day. And the last thing I'll point out is when we talked about doing it for him first, you know, do it for you first. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's some people chiming in and talk about your friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, with the post, my college buddy actually started working out last Monday, and he took a picture of his screen. I don't know what it was, maybe a Peloton or some sort of bike, and said inspired by GMG Chris.
Yeah.
And there have been other people, you know, chiming in, go get him, Chris. You know, this is inspirational. You know, Pat. And again, I'm not looking for, you know, accolades like that. But since we did it, I'm like, you know what? If I can do it, other people can do it, as long as you believe in it. Even my wife, she just bought some body fit workout. You know, go in your bedroom, you watch it on TV. So
I've inspired her a little bit too. But it's not something where you have to, like I said, be a weightlifter.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a half hour and get, as you think I've seen in some of my posts, I call it get your sneakers going. You know, just put yourself in those sneakers and do something.
Yeah.
You know, to get your heart going. Or
could you,
the stretching. The stretching is huge. I love, yeah. Bo hears me moan every time I
is that a moan or a groan?
Moan. Okay. Groan. Some groans. But the stretching itself, you're becoming pliable like Tom Brady. I mean, I put myself at the level of Tom Brady now. My pliability.
Yeah. If it works and you show up,
well,
why
you
not?
You did inspire me to make some changes.
There you go.
And I don't downloaded that.
Don't like it, eat it like an asshole app.
Well, I already have. I should build an app.
Yeah.
My patented diet, the don't eat like an asshole diet. But I downloaded a calorie tracker.
Yeah.
And calories are not the end all be all, but because certain foods have different, give you different things. Anyway, I don't want to get too off track with that. But what I want to say is you inspired me to do that. And what I've found by entering, because I already have a very physical job.
Oh, yeah, right.
But the food part of it was where I was lacking. And I just have entered all my stuff into this app. And it keeps me from going sideways.
Yeah.
Like, because my biggest problem, because everybody has different issues. My problem is eating out of boredom and sitting down and mindlessly watching a football game and pounding down a bag of Doritos. You know, but when you enter it on the app, you see where you're at, what it allows, you know, what you're, you know, if you want to lose weight or if you want to maintain weight, you enter what your thing is, and it's 5 days down 5 pounds. And
wow, that's great.
Feeling good. Yeah, but you know, everybody's inspired. I'm gonna just write here. Rob Collada, Bo's been inspirational in my life, coaches your mind and body, and his positive attitude is infectious.
Yeah.
Charlie McCarthy, haven't seen Chris work out like this in the 30 plus years. So it is awesome. Sapathia says she's inspired. Sapathia says Caitlin's recipes look healthy and fabulous. So I think that you guys are making a difference in a lot of people's lives.
Just feed off each other. Yeah. Stephanie O'Neill mentioned that she's doing the same thing
really?
As far as her nutrition. Okay. So.
I gotta get
so yeah, let's yeah. feed off each other and inspire each other. It works.
Yeah.
You know?
And actually Bo is gonna be on next week as well. We're going to be talking a little bit more fitness.
Yeah, little yoga.
And
wellness with Jana Huntsman.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Cape Man Yoga.
Yeah,
so
from Cape Man Yoga.
Chris, I realize it's a big plan and everything, but you could give everyone maybe a little insight of like one workout or the day, how long.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You said, I know there's stretching, so how many minutes do you do worth of stretching and all this stuff?
Yeah.
So
generally it's 45 minutes, sometimes 60 minutes, because Bo and I shoot the shit, you know, between my warm downs as I'm trying to grasp for air. it usually starts with some stretching. I mean, you got to stretch before you do, you know, any exercise. I usually go down around the track a couple times. I do what's called planks, which is almost like a push-up position. But you just keep your body in that, for the core, you just keep it in that like push up position and just
elbows.
Keep your, elbows on the ground.
So the elbow planks as opposed to
elbow planks. Yeah.
He does the
maybe elbow. You need to go over.
But you
desk.
Can do
the
shoulder
right
there.
Yeah. Push ups. What else do we do? We do
Chris,
the sit-ups.
You can also talk about his experience, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe be inspiring. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Mike is yours.
Yeah, Mike is yours, yeah.
I would love to hear it.
No,
I
do yoga and stretching every day and walk 5 to 6 miles a day. And,
nice.
Actually set a COVID thing. I had always been a certain weight and living in the Caribbean, I had gotten a little heavier.
Yeah.
And my goal was to, as of March, to lose COVID-19.
Yeah.
I lost 15.
Yeah.
Without changing diet or anything, just exercise.
Exercise.
And it does. It makes you feel just better at everything you do. But I did have a question, because you talked about working out in the morning.
Sure.
And I know some people say morning, and other people say body works better working out in the afternoon, later in the day.
I think whatever works for you, go with. But for me, the reason why I love working out in the morning is because I also benefit mentally.
Yeah.
Like I've been working out for years now, and it's been more mental than physical, the benefits.
Yeah.
So, but some people have that busy schedule too, and they got to get up and go in the morning.
So for years, for years, I would get up and I lived somewhere else, and I had the miles of walking trails behind my house.
Yeah.
And I would get up at dawn and run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And until my knees don't run anymore. But I would run for at dawn, and it wasn't just the exercise; it was just the being outside and just the air. The world is so beautiful at dawn.
Yeah. Well, what's cool is, I mean, as I know many of you who follow the blog, we've tried to change the locations, which is neat. We did a workout here on the wharf. We went over to Stageport Park. So, what's amazing is you can work out anywhere. You don't need a gym. You don't need anything fancy. I mean, another workout I do is I run the bleachers at Gloucester High School up and down the stairs. And then we do band work. For the back, and what, biceps too? The band.
Well, a standing row would be your back muscles,
and
your bicep muscles.
Right. So I mean,
also if you engage your core as you're sitting, you can feel it right from your
jump rope. I mean, I think I got a couple of laughs when I first tried jump roping. I hadn't jump roped in ages, but now my form has improved. That's another perfect example of progress. I could barely do 10.
Yeah.
You know, without tripping, and I think I got up to 25 or 30.
No, you did 50.
50?
Yeah. 50 straight.
Wow. Yeah. So.
So it's just showing up. You know. We got to thank Scott at the track, at the high school track. He's really good. He does a great job down there, and he's, we're always respectable to and considerate to what he's doing down there. But
yeah,
I mean, he's solid down there.
Yeah, definitely.
The work. I wanted to point that out, and also. For those that are starting, like Jim was mentioning, some of the routines, just make sure that, you're physically, you get clearance to work out. That's number one. You definitely want to make sure that you're working with a physician before you start. And then it's listening to your body.
Yeah.
Listen to your body. Because there's some people, they go right at it. And if they're not working out the right way, Got to be careful, because we're at risk for injury. And we want to keep this, like we were talking about, we want to make this a lifestyle,
Right.
And so it's just listen to your body.
Yeah.
And eventually, try to put some workouts together and be consistent.
Yeah.
And then as you see results, that nutrition, you're going to start paying more attention to what you're putting into your body as far as, I mean, we all want to see physical results, besides the mental results.
Yeah.
And Rob, keep up the good work. Rob Collada.
Paul, Chris, you both talked about the food portion, you're watching your diets. What were some of the things that you saw that was like, hey, this isn't that bad,
Well, I think moderation. Is the key. I don't think there's such a thing as a really bad food. I mean, maybe junk food is, but if you're eating decent food, then think about how much you're eating.
Yeah.
And I think the more physically fit you are, you're actually probably eating, you're not binging, you're eating less.
Right. I think a lot of us know what the right foods are.
Yeah.
And I just think it's more eating just to satisfy.
Yeah.
Then when you're satisfied, save it for later.
Yeah.
And eat more frequent.
Yeah.
Get that metabolism working.
Yeah. That's,
of course, we talked about drinking that gallon of water a day.
Yeah, the water.
Water.
So the past month, it's been the water for me. It's been eating every 2 or 3 hours, like 200, 300 calorie meals that are low in carbohydrates. And, fat is okay. Protein, high level of protein, high fiber, and just keep like peanuts, you know.
That's a good source of fat.
Yeah, yeah. 28 peanuts. Yeah. That's the other thing, is you can't just, I'll grab a handful or I'll eat a half a jar.
Yeah.
I measure my food out. You'd be amazed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, shit, I can only have that many. So 190 calories in 28 nuts.
And that just shows the kind of work Chris is putting into this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Measuring his nuts.
Yeah.
Oh,
wait a
minute. There are going to be comments.
Peanuts. Peanuts.
Sorry about that, Nicole.
No,
the two of you
were looking
at
each other thinking, is he
talking? Yeah. Hey, we need a little here we go again. Just switch a little bit here. Paul, you have some fishing boat stories here that you could share with us and some stuff that you have.
Yeah, well, I posted yesterday because I had talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the little, and it's actually not a fishing boat, it's a sailboat, but it's called a fish.
Yeah.
And I had talked about it. So I actually posted some pictures yesterday, one that was almost 100 years old and then some that are recent. But right here in Gloucester, there's a boat called the Anisquam Fish, which is a little 15-foot catboat, a little sailboat. And they've been built in the same boatyard here for 100 years, which is, there aren't a lot of boats like that. The first boats were built in 1920 by a guy named Nick Montgomery, and they were so successful that he actually took one of the hulls and filled it with cement, turned it upside down, made a mold. You know, it had a cement mold and literally was turning them out production line, pre-cutting all the pieces and I think the first year he built 85 of them, and there were hundreds of them built, and they were shipped all over the place. And actually, when I posted yesterday, so I got it right back from someone who said, oh, I had two of those boats in the 1950s. They were the best boats ever. And Jeff King, who owns River Boat Works down on Ferry Street, that's where the Montgomery's yard was. He's still building. He's building two new ones this winter. It's really cool. You all are from Gloucester, but so much of Gloucester is about the sea, and building boats and sailing boats and working boats, and the fact that there's that tradition going on. I mean, I would love to see someday more young people learning how to build boats and work on boats. And
that's cool.
We have a great high school team here, the Gloucester High School sailing team, but we. Places like Salem have Sail Salem or community boating in Boston, where hordes of kids are learning this. And I have a son who went to an apprentice program and is a boat builder in Maine now. But we could do things like that. We should be.
Nicole, did your boys ever want to build? I know they're on it a lot. Did they want to build their own? Say, if I had my boat, I would do it this way and stuff.
Thatcher said probably. Well, Thatcher does the Sea Cadets, which gives him a fair amount of that. Plus, they both sail at Sandy Bay Yacht Club and race on the sailing team. But Thatcher said probably 4 years ago, when the kids talk about what they want to do, and it's going to change 100 times. But there was a day he said, I think I want to design hulls of boats. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, freeze. Let's not change your mind ever again. So I don't know. So we bought him all these great books about how to. But I'd love for him to want to do that.
And it's so having this little boat. I mean, I had the chance to get one a few years ago. Just literally, it had been in a couple of accidents, and someone had backed it into their bushes in the yard and left it uncovered for 3 winters. It was in pretty sad shape.
Yeah.
And Jeff King did some great work on it. And I had sailed for years a big boat, which meant you had to sort of plan a trip and provision and carve out 3 weeks of your life and go somewhere. And now this little thing, which only draws 7 inches with the centerboard up, only 2.5 feet with the centerboard down, I can say, oh, I got a free hour. And it's a beautiful day. Let's go up in the marsh. And this is the perfect time of year, because if you go up the little river or the Jones River and up into the marshes behind Lobster Land, and everything's starting to change color, and the birds are rafting.
We mentioned that yesterday.
It's just so beautiful up there. Yeah. And an hour of that, talk about working out or the metal benefit of working out, an hour of messing about up in the marshes on the boat is the same sort of
mental exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you push away, I imagine it has to be the same way. I don't do a lot of sailing, but actually, I don't know the last time I was on a sailboat. So, but on a dory,
same thing.
It's the same type of thing. Like when I'm on the dock, and we have you could hear in the background right here the pumps and the refrigeration and the compressors just grinding away all day. Mm-hmm. And I could go down the ladder from the dock onto a dory, push away, and immediately all those sounds go away, and all you hear is the whoosh of the oars.
That's right.
And it is like, you know how you carry tension in your shoulders?
Yeah.
Well, I do anyway. Like, it just like melts away. Yeah. And just.
Yeah, it's the same thing for me. I raise the sail and cast off from the dock. And my world is now the wind and the water. And just, you know, moving the tiller, you know, playing with the sail and just responding to the wind. And
and learning how to duck.
And learning how to duck. Yeah.
So, but it forces you to pay attention.
Absolutely.
So this is a hobby of yours.
Yeah.
And it takes you away from the mundaneness or whatever your grind is, whatever your personal grind is. And for me, that happens to be grilling, right?
Yeah.
Everybody, in case anyone doesn't know.
Absolutely.
Right? But it's the same thing because it takes you away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're forced to pay attention. And here's just another thing that I was, similarities. Like these fish boats, it's called fish boat.
Yeah.
Over 100 years ago and same design today.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, when there is a pure design that doesn't need to be changed, it's magic, like those Weber grills, right?
Yeah.
That same time, they just
work.
It's simple. There's not a bazillion moving parts, and they work, and it's just timeless.
Some years ago, somebody tried to make one out of fiberglass, and it was the early days of fiberglass, when fiberglass was, we were laying it on, it was pretty heavy. And they ended up making a heavier boat than the wooden boat. And it's still around. It's called Sacred Cod, and it's still part of the fleet, but it's not the fastest boat.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I was out kayaking in the Jones last week. I mean, my mind was somewhere else. It was beautiful. All of a sudden, Joe, there's no wake. He comes out on his speedboat, freaking 30 miles an hour, freaking whipping around. You're going to slow down, Joe. I was out there, like, relaxing.
A relaxing.
Very peaceful moment. And ruined
if you believe anything comes out of his mouth, off of the podcast, right? It's off of the podcast.
It's actually really fun to be up there around Jones Keep. You know, there'll be a couple of us on fish boats. There'll be three or four kayakers and be a rower on a shell. And, you know, and we're all out there exactly doing the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, and then Joe comes through and
ruins it.
Ruins
it. Ruins it. With a full, with a two-stroke 1980.
Smoke everywhere.
The other fun thing about the restoration was there's a, you know, talk about tradition. I was looking for an antique marine paint, and there's a company called George Kirby Jr. and the company down in New Bedford, and there's five generations of Kirby's who run it.
Wow.
And it's classic marine paint, and they've got this catalog of old colors that, you know, are just magnificent. So,
wow.
So they're my go-to paint people.
But that's
cool. You know, we're talking about, you know, every year you got to do a little painting and a little touch up and touch up the varnish, repaint the anti-fouling on the bottom. But you know, you just keep at that.
That's cool.
So here's a question, because at 9 years old, my dad had me here working in the summers, and I watched people go by on boats. I'm happy that I have the work ethic I have right now, but I feel like I missed out on some. Everybody feels like they missed out on something, except for the Coles kids. They don't miss out on anything.
No, they do not.
They miss out on zero. They miss out on zero. But what is the best way to get a kid involved in sailing? What sailing programs are available to someone that might not be a member of the Enniskillen Yacht Club or the Eastern Point Yacht Club?
Well, I mean, Sandy Bay has a great sailing program, and actually the Enniskillen summer program is open to kids who aren't part of the yacht club, as is Sandy Bay, I believe.
Yeah, my kids have memberships. We don't have memberships. But I have $95 a year.
But I didn't grow up in a yacht club. My father bought it was a great little boat built up on the up in Amesbury called the Town Class. It was a lap straight hull sailboat, about 19 feet. Townies, and they were raced out of Marblehead and some other places. My father picked one up somewhere, and when I was old enough to sort of look over the the rail, he put me in it and said,
"Good luck,
good luck." Yeah. And that's what I did with our kids. That's and you know, it was great fun. We'd watch them sail down. You know, it's easy to run before the wind. You know.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they get down to the end of the cove, and it's and we'd be sitting there with binoculars saying, "Now, how are they going to get back?
They're going to figure this out."
And you know what? They figured it out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you don't need to be in a racing program or, you know, anything else. You just have to have access to something. And
I can't imagine a better thing for a kid. I really can't imagine like being out on the water. You know what I mean? Like just like,
there is something downtown, Maritime.
They have a program.
Yeah, my daughter Brooke was in that program down there.
Yeah.
They did a good job. It's in summer.
Yeah.
Well, and they get that skiff program too, or the dory boats.
The gig rowers. Yeah. The gig rowers are another way to get out on the water.
And I tell you, the guy that's been pushing a lot of that for kids, Peter Bent.
Yeah,
Peter Bent.
You can get a cock.
Peter's been pushing.
What was that, Peter Bent?
I was going to say Peter Bent has always been pushing. You know, how do we get more kids in the boats?
Yeah,
how do we have programs?
Yeah, no, I think it's really fantastic. Oh, my mom figured it out. Okay, so in the background, while I've been distracted over here, like looking at my phone, my mother, well, today she didn't come in and beep the horn 5 times. She didn't call me on the phone 3 times at 9:05, knowing that we start the podcast at 9, but she couldn't get the audio. So she was ready to give up, but she got the audio, so everybody.
Hello, Pat.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. Everybody say good morning to Mom.
Good morning, Matt.
God bless her.
What are you cooking?
She's dedicated. She fought her way through the technology, and she's here with us right now. Ma, type in and tell us what was the problem. Why couldn't you get the audio? She'll type in that. God bless her.
She says because my sub wouldn't help.
I was texting.
You know, I know we talked about hobbies, and your hobby is driving up 128 with your kids all the time.
I can't get
what are some of your hobbies that you have when you're not, you know, walking up somebody's
path? Well, I'm not walking the streets.
Walking street walker.
I enjoy occasional golf, which I'm not very good at.
Nice.
I do a lot of family things.
Yeah.
As a parent, I have 3 kids that I adopted. And
God bless you.
Wow. It's based on family a lot.
That's
God bless. Are you a member of the Elks?
No. I am a ticket holder for the Dorings.
We just bought our ticket. Jimmy and I and Pat always, whenever there's two Dorings, they have the Irish sweepstakes.
Yeah.
And they have another one.
Well, this is the
$25,000 game.
Yeah.
So we basically donated because we never win. We haven't won once.
No.
Well, because you always lose the ticket.
No.
The piece of ticket is, that
no,
you
need. I'm smart enough to know that Pat should hold the ticket.
You won 3 years in a row, but you just didn't know it.
Okay, so
that's what Pat is today.
Yeah, Pat's out on Aruba right now. So I'm gonna go over here because you might not be able to see this on the screen, but someone opened the window because it was hot in here.
Somebody.
Not me.
Okay, but I just want to make note of this. The thermostat that controls the heat.
I turned off because I'm sweating.
Are you roasting?
I was freaking roasting.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
My almonds.
That's what you said. Yeah.
I missed the bow comment.
You missed the bow comment.
I was making fun of my nuts.
Oh, really?
Nutritional nuts.
Well, we're not sure.
The fact that I weigh my nuts, I count them out.
Well, Kate and I just got one of those counter scales.
Yeah, I have one, and I was telling these guys that, you know, the diet that I'm on, I weigh my nuts for a snack.
The visual of the counter scale and that comment. Wait,
do you have a low counter? Do you have a low counter?
A little counter? Oh, so you can get them up on there?
I walked right into it.
All right, so we got a question. We got the answer for why my mother couldn't figure out how to listen. And it just so happens that it was the volume button. Someone turned the volume down on her.
Someone showed up at my house too.
She might want to turn it off again, Pat, after that last segment.
God bless my mother.
She got the volume on. Just
my mother is an angel to put up with my sister.
Yeah, and you.
No, me.
Just a sister.
No, put up with her.
I hope Felicia's not listening.
We mentioned that people can send in. Oh, wait. I'm going to take a little break here to say, if you're listening to this and you're enjoying the entertainment, please hit the share button on your device. If you haven't turned your volume up yet, turn your volume up. I promise a better experience. You can send a self-addressed stamped envelope to 95 East Main Street and get one of our cool die-cut stickers. You got to self-stamp and address it.
Or you come to the show and actually get one in person.
Yeah, yeah. Don't interrupt us in the middle of the show, though, because that's an aggravation.
Or if you buy 10 lobsters or more, you get a free sticker. So come on down and buy your lobsters.
I did not endorse that. I did not.
Because
we'll be out of stickers.
Well, I've sent a limit of 10.
Yeah. My mother just said, Felicia, you're no angel either. Ellis. Speaking of parents, Jimmy Ellis is
my father-in-law.
He probably just got out of the rack with the old lady.
What?
Did you hear what he said last week?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago when he turned 80.
He turned 80 and he was talking about how he still gets it regularly.
He got those tapes.
AARP sex tapes. Thanks to Pat. Pat gave him the link on how to buy it. Yeah, and he got those.
Yeah.
So how's everything going, Jimmy? Is your wife walking okay today? So there's that. I want to give a shout out to Kenny McCarthy and Charlene McCarthy, both real estate agents that are with Cape Ann. Charlene is saying, "Stop, please."
That's her father.
That's her father. Both great real estate agents. You can find their information on Cape Ann Home. Also, if you need a mortgage, go see our guy, Brendan Pratt. I refinanced twice with Brendan Pratt, and Kate and I refinanced with Brendan Pratt twice.
I got three refinances. Two that are pending right now. But
and every time you put money in your pocket.
Yep.
And how much work was it for you to do that?
Mindless.
Mindless.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like if you don't like money, don't refinance. Right. And don't call Brandon Pratt. And,
Joey, what's that? What's the company?
Cross Country Mortgage, and I have a link and the telephone number in the show notes. So there's that. You're absolutely insane not to check in with him. Turner Seafood is doing online pickup and takeout, and they have amazing fish and chips. Jimmy and I got it a couple weeks ago. It's amazing. Tano. So I see this trend. Tano and this another place that they're offering very inexpensive microfiber towels. I think they're microfiber towels. Yeah.
Blankets.
Blankets for the outdoor dining, trying to extend their dinners. Chris and I had dinner at Tano this past week. Outside on that courtyard, it was
with the plastic and with the.
It's all enclosed and with the heaters, it's like you're dining indoors, but you have the ambiance of Main Street, which I love.
Yeah,
we had a tremendous, tremendous meal there.
Yeah, I had. Speaking of restaurants, I had brunch at Mile Marker.
Oh yeah.
Yesterday, outstanding. Again, if you're looking for a place to have brunch on weekends, put Mile Marker on your list. It's very good. Avocado toast is to die for.
We did, we've been speaking this summer to the two most improved restaurants, Mile Marker and what was the other
Oliver's?
One? And Oliver's Harbor.
Oliver's Harbor.
Was there another one?
Yeah, no, those two places.
Oh, yeah. Always the Cape Ann Brewery too. You really enjoyed the.
I haven't eaten at the Cape Ann Brewery. Oh, Cape Ann Brewery. Yeah. I thought you were saying the Cape Ann Lanes.
No.
Cape
Ann Brewery. We're gonna go to Cape Ann Lanes. We gotta.
Jimmy and Pat went there. Jimmy, you want to speak to the tater tot experience?
Tater tot. You know, I thought it was so great that you can go in there and they have all, it's a special. You can get tater tots all these different ways. And it was, of course, I got the biggest one. I had to do it. Sorry, Bo. But I had to get that.
That's all right.
You know.
That's all right.
You're going to cheat once in a while. I was counting my tater tots.
Okay. I got something waiting for me at home. Don't worry about it.
You're going to cheat once in a while. That's good. Anyways, great place. And they have the homemade beer. You know, they have the brewery right there. Right now they have two homemade brews. And it's really good to sit around. And I put it up there as a candidate for $450. That's coming really close.
Wow. What do you mean for $450? What does that mean?
To have our...
for $450, did you ask about the Wi-Fi there?
Pat did. Pat was talking to
the... Well, we'll figure it out because we generally do it with someone that really like goes out of the way and shares our stuff and tunes us up.
Yep.
So
we love free food.
So
even though we're becoming more conscious of wellness, because you got Cape Ann Wellness too, but we're going to talk about that. I gave a teaser for next week. Bo's going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
With yoga.
Oh, you have someone else coming on, right?
Yeah. John Huntsman from Cape Ann Yoga.
Okay, cool.
Great wellness coach, yeah.
You know what? The best I ever felt was when I was working out and that, like doing traditional weightlifting and alternating with yoga.
Yeah, it's great.
Because you get the stretch.
Paul was talking about it.
What's that? Oh,
Paul's a yoga guy.
You're
a
yoga? Yeah. Where do you practice?
At home.
You get the tapes?
No, I learned yoga years ago.
Paul's got the tapes. Paul's got the tapes.
I had a great yoga teacher down in the Virgin Islands, and I just do it.
Wow,
I'm sure you did.
So you're like the guy. So you're like the guy that does the Tai Chi on the
beach.
On the karate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Korn.
Yeah, I gotta learn that. That looks more my speed.
Listen,
the movements.
I would say try variation. You know, the more options you have, to work out. Yeah. Hopefully, the less excuses you have.
Yeah,
hopefully.
There you go. That's right. A good point.
One no side excuses. Does not fit all. Yeah, I have a link in the show notes on the blog. My mother loves Seaport Grill as well. She wanted to give a Audrey Coates. We have a comment. I am absolutely astounded that we have not gone to Taj yet.
I know. Yeah. Well, the only reason I haven't is because I'm afraid if I go there, I'll eat like an asshole. I mean, the food looks outstanding. The drinks look outstanding. I'll be there at Taj, but maybe not for another month.
But I think if it's Indian, is it Indian food?
Indian, yeah.
There must be some healthy.
There always is. There was one dish I think I saw. It was like broccoli. It looked like a healthy dish, but I don't know. We'll go there.
We got to get there. I mean, really, it has anybody in this room been there yet? Not one person.
And I've been
dying. That's astounding to me. Yeah. Usually a place opens up with you.
I will tell you that I've seen the line of cars on that one-way road there. And on Main Street, people are trying to find spots to run in to get the takeout because the big thing is takeout and stuff. And it is, obviously it's big.
The drinks look outstanding. You get to look at the drink menu. And that's what I look at first.
First and foremost.
And it looks outstanding. We'll be there, Taj. Don't worry. All right. We love the Serenity Group. That's part of the Serenity
Group. We love the Serenity Group. And I am anxiously awaiting the open of the Red Rooster. At Minglewood Tavern, the former Minglewood Tavern, they're going to have that chicken shack.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, we got a sneak peek of inside.
I know
it's going to be awesome.
We should. I bet you
that's where 450 is.
We haven't been there.
450.
What's 450? Oh, but that's not a sit. It's not really. It's not really made as a sit down place. It's more of a. They're going to have a table. That you can sit down and eat, but they really kind of got to push the
like fast food,
the takeout to go kind of stuff.
I think, takeout to go.
Yeah. Brenda Davis says she had been to Taj, and it was awesome. So at least we get someone saying something. Brenda, how, so Brenda, leading up to it, it bothered her immensely that they had put out their like proposed menu, but they didn't have the prices on there. So Brenda, how were the prices? See, I saw her ask like this question 3 or 4 times. She was very concerned about the prices. So we'll hear about that from her. I just want to give a shout out to that app though, because so after I downloaded the Lose It app, the one, the calorie counting app that I've been using.
Yeah.
And it's super intuitive, because you can scan labels of products that you're eating. There hasn't been a food, even if I've made it on my own, that I start typing that it hasn't auto-filled for me. Like I made a spinach salad with olive oil and vinegar dressing, and that was a dress. You know, thing there. 5 shrimp cocktail. You know, that was an option. So it's really super easy to use. And I got this. I don't know. Kate got this scale. It's a biometric scale or something. And I don't know if it's.
Oh, and you weigh yourself.
Yeah, you weigh yourself, and it wasn't very expensive. But it also, the app, it calculates and logs my weight right into the app.
Wow.
So it's all of it's really cool. Yeah. I'll put a link to that scale. Brenda says the prices were reasonable. So thank you for the update, Brenda. So we didn't mention earlier, but we're going to have a super fan on a week. I'm going to in every week, someone else will be able to nominate a super fan. I'm going to nominate Brenda Grimes Davis right now for next week.
Yeah,
did the ayes have it?
Yeah.
I heard 2.
Aye.
4.
All
in favor. Okay. So Brenda Grimes Davis, would you like to be the super fan sitting in on the podcast next week? Let us know. That's it. We're at an hour and, well, we started a little late. So we're probably at 1 hour and 15 minutes. Wayne, it was great having you on.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Did you have a nice time?
Absolutely.
Was it worth getting out of bed?
It's well worth it.
I'm waiting for Brenda to type in if she's going to come on or not. Brenda, don't let us down, Brenda.
You enjoy your time.
What's that?
She'll enjoy her time.
There you go. We got firsthand feedback. Joy Foot says, oh, she shut us down. Ooh. She says, I prefer to be a fan from afar. All right. Next up then. Joey Foot.
There you go.
What am I supposed to say? All in favor?
All in favor.
Joey Foot, are you going to come in tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Next Sunday. Joey Foot. I think there's like a 30-second delay. My mother says she has the Fit Index thing too. Joey Foot is in next week. Super fan, Joey Foot. All right, buddy. All right, for Paul Horvitz, Paul Cleary, Wayne the Mailman, here to be known as Wayne the Mailman, Nicole Schraff, Jimmy Dalpiaz and Chris McCarthy. I'm your host, Joey Cimentaro. We'll see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. And Jimmy, get in close, Jimmy. Give it to me, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, absolutely no piping clovers were hurt in the taping of today's podcast.